In the name of the Son and the Holy Spirit, amen. My Lord and my God, I firmly believe that you are here, that you see me, that you hear me. I adore you with profound reverence. I ask you for pardon of my sins and grace to make this time of prayer fruitful. My Mother Immaculate, St. Joseph, my Father and Lord, my guardian angel, intercede for me. Well, I thought that we could take for the text of our prayer this evening the parable that our Lord tells. Perhaps he tells it on many different occasions, I suppose, with different audiences. The sower who went out to sow, and the birds came and devoured them. Other seeds fell on rocky ground where they had not much soil, but when sun rose, they scorched and since they withered away. Other seeds fell upon thorns, and the thorns grew up and choked them. Other seeds fell on good soil and brought forth grain, some 100-fold, some 60, some 30. So our Lord tells this parable, and he knows that even amongst his audience there would be all these different kinds of soil, so his words would be received in different ways according to the hearer. And so amongst his listeners, there would be fewer and fewer listeners. We're not connected to the outside world and we're losing them from the inside. Anyway, So the seed that falls by the wayside is the seed that really, it just makes no impression, it makes no impact. So perhaps the people, well, I suppose, you know, they might not even be listening. That would be one way in which it would make no impact. So if our Lord is talking and the words are just coming out, and just the minds are elsewhere, then of course it's not going to make any impact because it doesn't go into the mind in the first place. But perhaps there are people who hear the stories and just take them as that, you know, the stories, and they say, okay, well, that's nice to know that, that our Lord talks about seed and some of it is successful, some of it grows it's all right. I haven't got the gift of tears here. I've just got a little speck of something in my eye that's causing a bit of trouble. It'll be all right in a minute. So, yes, some of the seed that falls by the wayside. So the birds come. You can't hear even inside the oratory. Good heavens. Right, we're doing our best. Right, okay. So we're doing the parable of the sower and the seeds, right? We'll get going eventually tonight. It's all going wrong. In fact, I forgot my notes as well. So, you know, it's just a comedy of errors tonight. So, so the seed that falls by the wayside, and our Lord, he tells lots of stories as it goes about preaching, and if people just take them as stories, well, okay, you know, then they move on to something else, and it doesn't sort of affect their life at all. So our Lord is asking that we assimilate, that we take what he says to us, and we think about it, you know, to give that reception to it. That's the soil that accepts the seed, isn't it? Mm-hmm. And so we ask for the grace, really, to be able to reflect on the words that our Lord addresses to us. So we ask for that grace to be able to pray to you, Lord. This is what we're trying to do now. And we might say that the words of the meditation like this are in some sense the seed, which is to try, I mean, the purpose of sowing the seed is to try to provoke thoughts, prayers, conversation, dialogue with Jesus. I read somewhere that the normal speed of human speech is about 120 words a minute or something like that, which that's normal speech, normal conversational speech. But the mind has the capacity to process words at a much faster rate, so several hundred words a minute. So what it means is that you can be listening, taking in words, and yet your mind can be also working at the same time. So you can hear words and yet be in a conversation with Jesus. And this is what meditation is aimed at doing, so that each one of us can take the words, take the ideas, and relate to you, Jesus, and say, well, help me to think what kind of soil I offer to the seed that you sow. What kind of reaction do I have? What effort do I make to try and assimilate the things that I hear, to make them part of my life? Or do I, you know, just often just let everything flow over me without it kind of changing me or challenging me? You know, have I felt challenged by any of the words that I've heard in the means of formation? Have I felt challenged to change, you know, to improve, to change some aspect of my life? Or am I, you know, one of these people that, you know, I just resist that, you know, if it means putting myself out, if it means discomfort, whatever, well, I just let it go. And so the seed falls by the wayside. So that's some of the seed. So the seed that has no effect. And then we read that other seeds fell on rocky ground where they had not much soil, and immediately they sprang up since they had no depth of soil. Well, I'm not sure I understand why they spring up if the soil is not very deep, but I'm not the most expert in terms of agriculture and things. But anyway, this seems to be the case, that there's this immediate reaction, immediate kind of positive reaction, and then it doesn't last. And I suppose what this indicates is the kind of person who gets very enthusiastic, you know, about things of the faith or following God or making resolutions to change my life completely. And then, you know, after a while, the resolution just fizzles out. You know? I knew someone some years ago who wasn't anything, wasn't religious at all, but somehow he had been invited to one of these evangelical meetings somewhere, in some hall in East London somewhere. And anyway, he was saying afterwards that, you know, he'd gone along and there was this tremendous atmosphere and excitement and the emotions being built up until the fellow leading the group, the session, he called out to people to come to the front and to commit themselves to Christ. And this friend of mine, he said, you know, I just felt impelled to go to the front and, you know, commit my life to Jesus. And so, you know, this had happened unexpectedly to him, but I met him sometime later and it had all gone, you know, it was a thing of a moment. And I suppose it's like that, it's just shooting up, but not having any depth really. And it fades away. And we discover in our relationship with our Lord that actually it's a question of sticking at things day after day, that we're not always going to be enthusiastic. And perhaps we have a commitment to pray each day, and sometimes we are keen and enthusiastic about it, but other times we might feel, you know, not in the mood at all really to pray. But that is where we're being asked for a bit of fortitude, a bit of loyalty, to show the truth of our commitment, really. Jesus saying to us, well, you know, you say you commit yourself to me, and sometimes you get a good feeling from it, but why don't you just persevere when you don't get a good feeling? Then you'll show the honesty and the consistency of your love. When you truly follow me, you truly try to accompany me through thick and thin, in all circumstances. To show our loyalty, to keep at it when we're tired and to keep going. I heard a story about this young girl who just started school and, you know, very excited, and of course, first day back from school, and the mother collects her and they're talking about it, and the girl is saying all the things she's done on her first day at school, and it's all very nice, very wonderful. And then the next day, the mother wakes up the girl in the morning, says, come on, get up. And the girl says, why? She says, oh, for school. She says, what, again? She hadn't quite got the concept. So, you know, sometimes we think we do things for God, and really it's a question of that daily commitment, a daily commitment when we're feeling tired and so on. So the enthusiasm of a moment, we want to dig let the roots go deeper, and we want to study our faith, we want to get to know you, Lord Jesus, we want you to take over our hearts so that we realize we're not just following an ideal, we're not just following an abstract resolution, but we're committing ourselves to a person, that you are a real person with a real heart, and I want to link my heart to your heart. And a way of showing that is to be faithful to my commitment each day, and to get to know you better, because the more I know you, the better I know you, the more I'm going to be able to love you. And then this third kind of seed, well, it's all the same kind of seed, but it's a different kind of soil. So other seeds fell upon thorns, and the thorns grew up and choked them. Well, later on, Jesus explains what he means by this. He says, as for what was sown among thorns, this is the one who hears the word, but the cares of the world and the delight in riches choke the word, and it proves unfruitful. And perhaps this is a category that we might feel we fall into. We have a certain depth, perhaps, of knowledge. We have a certain depth of faith, and perhaps we have a certain time that we have now been trying to be faithful. We've been trying to live a commitment to follow Jesus closely. And yet, you find there's all sorts of other influences, aren't there? There's all kinds of other things. I mean, we live in a very materialistic world, and it's easy to get caught up in the material things and allow them to dominate, so that little by little Jesus gets pushed out of our life, he gets pushed out of our priorities. And especially if there are little concessions to selfishness or to self-indulgence, you know, of one sort or another, so that our Lord goes down the list of priorities until he's really not so important at all. And this, as I say, it can happen little by little. So it could be that, you know, in our minds we still think that we are trying to lead a good life, that we want to strive for holiness and sanctity and things. And yet in practice we're slipping away from that ideal, and we don't notice it because it's just giving way in little things. So little by little we lower the standards. I mean, maybe we look at our life and I can look at my life and say, well, in the past there were times when perhaps I lived this virtue better, or perhaps I used to have a good habit of praying this prayer every day, but now I don't. Now I don't say it. What happened? Why is it that I don't do something now that I used to do regularly before? And it's probably because one day, you know, I didn't you know, fulfill that thing that I was doing, and I didn't react to it. You know, I didn't examine my conscience, or if I did examine my conscience, it was very superficial. And I allowed the standards to slip a little bit, you know, almost imperceptible, but it slipped a bit, and then it slipped a bit more, and it slipped a bit more. And so it's allowing myself little things, perhaps of curiosity, or allowing, you know, other forms of just self-centeredness, really. And I gradually lose from sight that the thing is to place you at the center of my life, Lord, and to look at your virtues and to set your virtues as a standard that I aim for. So when I'm becoming lax, you know, in my approach to my work, and I'm not reacting, well, I need to look at you, Jesus, and see, how did you work? How did you persevere in your tasks each day? It's a question of trying to renew the love that our Lord has placed in our hearts. We know that it does have a tendency to diminish if we're not careful. And so we need to be looking after little things that help the flame to keep burning each day. Little things of love that we put into our piety, you know, the way that we pray. Perhaps just the resolution to be punctual. It could be an act of love, couldn't it? We think in the Gospels of that woman who brings the jar of precious ointment, and she pours it all over Jesus as an expression of all the deep love in her heart that she wants to pour over Jesus, pour out on him. And she doesn't hold anything back. And we can say, well, Lord, you know, that's what I would like to do really with my day, to make my day a sort of pouring out of the love that I have for you, to pour out the love and show it by the way that I go about my work, that I go about thinking about other people, making little sacrifices, being generous to others, and so on. And as I say, looking after the examination of conscience, so that if I've given in, you know, to whatever, some bad reaction, well, I immediately try and compensate for that by by treating the person better or reacting better, whatever, so that I'm kind of conscious that if I've let the standard slip, I want to immediately fight to restore it. And then other seeds fell on good soil and brought forth grain, some 100-fold, some 60, some 30. So other seeds fell on good soil. Other seed fell on into good hearts, really. You might say hearts that are receptive, hearts that are open, open to having demands made on them. You know, we all have a tendency, I suppose, to defend ourselves. You know, we don't like being prodded, I suppose, you know, to change, to improve. But our Lord is always, you know, trying to spur us on to a little bit more generosity. And so we say, Lord, I want to run the risk, if we can call it that, the risk of you making demands on me. I want to come to you with a completely open heart. I want to come to you, I want to place myself at your disposition, like your mother who said, be it done unto me according to your word. That she was ready for whatever Jesus asked of her, whatever he required of her. So that's the disposition I would like to come along with. So in practice, of course, we may realize that what that means is going to spiritual direction, to getting some advice from someone who can guide us, who can give us advice about how to pray or how much to pray, you know, how often, or what book it would be good for us to read in terms of spiritual reading, to give some nourishment to our interior life, who may give us some guidance about virtues that we could work on to try and improve in, maybe give us guidance about how to carry out a more effective apostolate of friendship, all these kind of things. So, yes, as I say, it is kind of running a risk because we go along and we are likely to receive some suggestion or some advice that's going to make a demand on us. But we say, Lord, that's what I want. I want demands to be made on me. I mean, what's the point of just going, leading a soft life if I don't have to fight, if I don't have to struggle? You know, I grow precisely because I have to overcome difficulties. I have to face up to them, like a child crawling around the floor and I might discover the first step of the staircase. And well, the mother will help the child to negotiate the step. She might say, oh, stay clear of that staircase, because, you know, and she might say that for a while, but at some point the child has to learn to go up and down stairs. If it doesn't learn from that effort, it's going to be stuck on the ground floor the rest of its life, isn't it? So, you know, there has to be opposition, you might say. There's going to be something to fight against, to struggle against. So I need a struggle. I need targets. I need demands made on me. And that is a sign that I'm offering the good soil, which is going to bear fruit. Well, as I say, let's pray to Our Lady and ask her to give us that generous disposition, that disposition to say, whatever you want of me, Lord, then I want it too. Whatever you ask of me, I'm ready to do. I give you thanks, my God, for the good resolutions, affections, and inspirations you have communicated to me in this meditation. I ask you for help to put them into effect. My Mother Immaculate, St. Joseph, my Father and Lord, my guardian angel, intercede for me.